Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today we're going to be learning Chulin Daf Ayin. We are holding on Daf Samach Tesan Beis. We are 8 lines from the end of the page at the Azdu L'Tamayu. Today's show is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, and honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, the Neshama Shavin Aliyah. So we're in the middle of discussing whether Kedushas Bechor goes back L'Mafreya to the beginning of the Leda or not, and we're going to connect two different machlokos between Rabba and Rav Huna. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether we follow Rove Aver when it comes to viewing that Aver as if it has entirely emerged from the mother. Then the Gemara is going to have various questions about Chatzitza that would prevent Kedushas Bechor, that a Chatzitza in the Beis Harechem between the Vlad and the Beis Harechem that would prevent the Vlad from having Kedushas Bechor. We're going to have Shilos of Kedushas Bechor related to anomalies in the physical Rechem, that the Rechem is misshapen or damaged in some way that might make a difference. And then on Amud Beis, on the top of Amud Beis, we're going to have a Mishnah about Tumas Nevela while still inside the womb, whether a dead animal inside of its mother's womb has Tumas Nevela or not. The Gemara is going to have two explanations why Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that a dead fetus in a non-kosher animal has Tumas Nevela, whereas a dead fetus in a kosher animal would not have Tumas Nevela. So we're going to have two explanations for that, and that will bring us almost to the end of the daf. And then the Gemara is going to go through the source in the Torah that a nevela of a kosher chaya is tameh. That if you, let's say you have a chaya tahora, like a giraffe or something, and it just drops dead, how do I know that there's tumas nevela for that dead carcass? So let us begin again. We are at va'azdu l'tamayu. So if we recall, the last thing we did yesterday is we mentioned that if a fetus, an animal ubar comes out one third of the way, and then while it's one third out, you sell it to an ovid chavim, and then another third of it comes out. So Rav Huna says that it has kedushas bechora, that the sale did not prevent the kedushas bechora. Whereas Rabba says it does not have kedushas bechora. The reason Rav Huna holds it has kedushas bechora is because he holds lemafreya kadosh, that even though the kedushas bechora is tali on the leida, and it's only at the rove, when rove of it came out, that the leida was complete, but when it was 51% out, the majority of the leida that had happened was before it was sold to the Nachri, and therefore it has Kedushas Bechor, whereas Rabba says that it's Eino Kadosh because he holds that Mikanu Laba, that it only has Kedushas Bechor Mikanu Laba, and therefore you sold it in time before it was rove out, and you've successfully avoided the Kedushas Bechor. So says Marva Azla Tamayu, this Machlokas Rabban Rav Huna is Lishitasam de Itmar, because it's there was another Machlokas recorded between them about the following case. Yatza Shlish Derech Dofin, if one third of the animal came out as a C-section, and and then Ushnei Shlishi Derech Rechem, then the next two thirds of that same baby came out Derech Rechem in the normal delivery. The Tzlach struggles with trying to understand how on earth is that possible, right? That would only be possible if you cut the baby into pieces, right? So that's a struggle to figure out how that's possible. But in theory, it's not going to be the only strange case we have today. Rav Huna Amar Eino Kadosh. So Rav Huna says it does not have Kedushas Bechor. Rabba Amar Kadosh. Rabba says it does have Kedushas Bechor. Rav Huna Amar Eino Kadosh. Rav Huna Tamei. Domer L'Mafreya Kadosh. Rav Huna holds it does not have Kedushas Bechor because it's Lishitaso, that as soon as Rov of the Uber came out, it's considered to be already born, and the Kedushas but the majority of that first 51% was not berechem, because the first third came out derech dofen, so therefore it's not going to have kedushas bechor. Whereas Rabba Amar Kadosh, Rabba says it does have Kedushas Bechor. Why? Rabba L'tameid, Amar Mikar L'Abba Kadosh, Rubba Derech Rechem Nafik. Then in the end of the day, the majority of this animal came out Derech Rechem. And if the majority came out Derech Rechem, it has Kedushas Bechor. So why do I need to be told this Machlokas, Rabba and Rav Huna, both in the circumstance where you sold it after one-third came out to an Achri, and in the circumstance where one-third came out Derech Dofen, and then the rest Derech Rechem, Utsricha. We need both Machlokas. Diyashmin Baha, if it only would have told us the machlokas about the case of selling, I would say Bahakam Rav Huna. That's where Rav Huna is going to say that Lemafreya it's Kadosh Mishum Dilukula. Because if you were to say Mikanu Labo, kadosh, that would be a kula, that it's not kadosh. So Rav Huna's machmir that lemafreya it's kadosh. Aval bahach, but in the case where one third came out derech dofen dilechumra, where it's a chumra to say mikanu laba, it's kadosh, because then it's going to actually be kadosh. Say mamodil rabba, I might think that he's molded to rabba, that we should be machmir. So that's why it has to tell me that Rav Huna holds his shita even when he yields a kula, not only when he yields a chumra. And if it only would have told me the machlokas in the case where one third came out derech dofen, I would say, yeah, bahakam rabba. That's the case where rabba is machmir to say mikanula ba kadosh, and the uber therefore has kedusha, because had you said the mafreya kadosh in that case, it would have been a kula. Aval baha imamodil le rafuna. But in the case of selling it to a nachri, we're saying mikanula ba kadosh would yield a kula. So I would think he would be modet Rav Huna to be machmir tzricha. That's why I need both cases, that both Rabba and Rav Huna hold their shitos to the end. They hold all the way, even bein l'chumra, bein l'kula. So the Gemara tries to bring a kasha against Rav Huna. Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, hamevakeres, if a animal is giving birth for the first time, hamekasha leilei, and it's going through its labor pains, mechatech ever, you cut off piece by piece of the ubar, umashlech l'klavim, and you throw it to the dogs. So my love, mechatech maniach, doesn't the Mishnah seem to be telling us that you cut off one ever at a time and you leave it around until rove of the vlad has emerged, and nevertheless you're still allowed to throw it to the chatichos that you cut off to the dogs, because you cut them off before Rove had emerged, and since the Vlad did not yet have Kedushas Bechora, because Rove had not yet emerged, it's okay to throw it to the dogs. And that's a kasha on Rav Huna, because I understand very well, if you say Mikanu La'aba Kadosh, so prior to Rove emerging, there was no Kedusha, but if you say L'mafreya Hu Kadosh, so it should be L'mafreya, that all of this had Kedusha, and you should not be allowed to throw it to the dogs. V'yam L'mafreya Hu Kadosh, but if you're going to say that Rove, that it's Uvar Adavr L'mafreya, that it was Kadosh the whole time, so all of these Chatichos that you have cut off of this Ubar have Kedusha. How could the Mishnah allow you to throw them to the dogs? Ye cover me by Yalei. We should say that you have to bury them and not throw them to the dogs. Tosfos raises the question, why does Gemara only ask on the din of throwing it to the dogs? Why doesn't it ask on the more fundamental din? Why were you allowed to cut it in the first place? You're not allowed to be Matil Mumba Bukhar. So if we're going to say L'mafreya Hu Kadosh, forget about throwing it to the dogs. You're not allowed to do that with something that has Kedusha Bukhar. You're not even allowed to be Matil Mum in the first place. So Tos says, yeah, it could have been talking about a Nefel, which is not Roy La Krava and has no Kedushas Mizbeach, and therefore you could be Matil Mum, or you were Chotich Bifnim before it was Yotzi Lavir Olam at all. Tos says, Samechi Timtzus, where it's not going to be a violation of being Matil Mum, but nevertheless you would not be allowed to throw it to the dogs. So anyway, so this is the Kashan Rav Huna. Isn't that exactly the case the Mishnah was talking about? That you cut off Ever, and then the Rove emerges, and then you take those Avarim that you cut off and you throw it to the dogs. So says Marlo, No. The case in the Mishnah is, as you cut off each limb before the rove of the animal emerged, you throw each limb to the dog prior to any Kedushas Bechor having been Chal. So ask the Gemara, according to Rav Huna, now we're talking about mechatech u'mashlich, we could be medayik that's the only case that it's not kadosh, aval mechatech u'maniach. But if you were to cut it off and leave those limbs around until rove came out, what would the din be? Yikaver. Then it sounds like the din should be that it has kedushas bechar. Well, if that's the case, adatana seifa, when the seifa wants to contrast with the reisha, instead of the seifa saying yotza rubo yikaver, that if most came out of most of the animal came out at one time, that you bury it, then niftara min ha-bechor, and it becomes part from bechor, live like this in today. Why don't we just make the chilik in a case that is more similar to the reisha, which is always a sharper chilik? And why don't we say bamed varmamurim, when do we say that it does not have kedusha b'mechatech u'mashal chever ever? That's if you cut off limb by limb and you throw it to the dog. Avul mechatech u'maniach, but if you were to cut off limb by limb, so the same act of cutting off limb by limb, so it's a much more sharper chilik, but this time you're maniach, you leave it around, you cover. Then in that case, it would be yikaver. So why not say that? So says the Gemara, don't be medayik from the lashon of the seifa that only if rove comes out at one time, it's yikaver. But mechatich maniach is not yikaver. Hachinami kamar. Nah, the Tana means to say, even in mechatich maniach, the din is that it's yikaver. But med varma murim be mechatich umashlich, av mechatich maniach, nasa kemi shiyotza ruba v'yikaver. What the Tana is trying to tell me is, anything short of mechatech umashlich is the same as yatzerubo. So mechatech umaniach is the same as yatzerubo, and therefore it is yikaver. Now the Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Becharos paskins like Rav Huna that lemafreya it's kadosh, but the Rosh paskins like Rabba that mikanu labahu kadosh, and the mechirat of the Nachri is binding. And if one third came out derech dofen, it's kadosh, because the pashtus of the Gemara sounds like that if yatzerubo ka'achas and you did not cut it up, and the resha is that talks about mashlich, it's talking about even if mechatech umaniach, that it doesn't require kvura and you're allowed to be mashlich l'klavim. The fact that the Gemara says that it's kamisha yatzerubo, that's really a dochak, and we're not really going to paskin that way. Lemaisa, it's a shinuya dechika. That's the way they understand the Rambam. Now it is interesting. There's a point that is made over here. When it comes to our sugya, makes it very clear that there is this din of rubo kikulo, that the Gemara, it's such a different posture to the Gemara, that the Gemara says that the Mishnah doesn't even need to tell me that Rove already came, that if Rove comes out, that it has Kedushas Bechor, because that's something that everybody already knows, that obviously rubo kikulo. So there's a fundamental principle that our entire sugya accepts, that rubo is kikulo, and therefore if Rove of the Behemoth emerges, there's nothing to discuss. So it happens to be the Taz writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah in Sim Tavkov Pei Beis that we say in the Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Meloch al Kol HaOlam Kulo. So the Taz writes, why do we say Kol HaOlam Kulo? Just say Kol HaOlam. Now Hashem should be Meloch al Kol HaOlam. Why Kol HaOlam Kulo? So the Taz says, because in Halacha there's a din of Rubo Kikulo. So if we were to just say Meloch al Kol HaOlam, it would make it sound like that we're perfectly happy with Hashem being Meloch al Rov HaOlam, because Rov is the same as Kol. So we have to say Kol HaOlam Kulo to say no, and not relying on Rubo Kikulo. Don't rely on any legal fiction over here. Hashem should be Molech on the entirety of the entire world. It happens to be the Levush writes that it's a typo and that we shouldn't say Kol HaOlam Kulo because it's redundant, but the Taz is Miyashif that in that way that it's not redundant. But there is a major discussion on Achronim. What are the limitations of Rubo Kikulo? Let's say I eat Rov of a Kezayis of Matzah on Pesach. Have I been Yotze the Mitzvah? Didn't eat a full Kezayis. Rov of a Kezayis of Matzah on Pesach. So you're going to say Rubo Kikulo? Let's say I have Rov of the Parshios in my Tefillin. Right? Not four parshios, three. Three is a good rove, right? So you're going to say that I'm Yotzei the Mitzvah? It's unthinkable to say such a thing. So the Chasam Sofer was asked this question by Rav Shlomo Kluger, and he says you can only say Rubo Kikulo when the rove and the miut are together, and then you consume or do something with the rove. So then we say Rubo Kikulo. So you have an entire Sanhedrin together. The majority of the Sanhedrin votes in one direction, Rubo Kikulo. But what if you need a Sanhedrin Katana and you only have 15 judges? We don't say Rubo Kikulo in such a case. You need to have Kulo there in order to say Rubo Kikulo. You can't say Rubo Kikulo when Kulo is not there. So Shlomo Kluger in Kina Sofrim in Ashmatos and Shira Tara says, nah, it doesn't work, because then according to the Chasam Sofer, what if you put a Kezayis of Matzah in your mouth, you chewed on it, and you swallowed a majority of what was in your mouth and spit out the rest? So would you be Yotze? Or you have Kulo there, you have the whole Kezayis there, you only did the mitzvah with Rov of it. So by the Chasam Sofer's logic, that should work. Rav Zelig Bengis, the Gaivit of the Eidah Haredis, quoted Rav Chaim Brisker that Rubo Kikulo is only when there is a finite, a clearly defined item, like Shechita Simanim of a behema, that the simon is a particular size, you cut Rov of it, so that is a clearly defined limit. And if you cut Rov of the simon, that's like cutting the whole simon. Or Dayanim, that are mitzdarif to a Bezdin. So Rubo Kikulo, but a Kezayis Matzah, or a Kezayis of a Trefa, for that matter, for Yisurei Achila, since it doesn't matter which flour you use for a Kezayis Matzah, there's no clearly defined matzah that you must be eating this matzah and not that matzah, So there is no clear definition of what it is. Then we do not apply the principle of rubo kikulo. So this is an interesting discussion just in general. Okay, back in the Gemara, by Rava raised the following shaila: holchu beivar nacharov, alo holchu beivar nacharov. Again, the premise of our discussion is that there's a concept called rubo kikulo. The question is, though, when it comes to an aver, do we follow the rove of that aver, or do we not follow the rove of that aver? What do you mean? What are we? Give me a case. What are we asking about? Say, hey, chidami, says Gemara, what exactly are we asking about? Ilema kigon shiyatza rove bimiyut aver. Maybe the majority of the baby came out, but it only got to 51% of the baby that emerged because 40% of it, the right hind leg is out. 60% is still inside. So it's a miut of that aver that came out that put it over the rove line in order to get it to rove of the ubar. So the kami baile and our shaila is high miut to bray basar of deva shadinale. Do we say, well, it's only 40% of the hind leg and the other 60% is still inside? So we view it as if the entire right hind leg is still inside, and therefore you're not over the 50% mark for the leda. Oh, basar ruba de ubar shadinale. Or do I say that no, rove of the ubar is out, counting this piece of this aver, and therefore it's considered to be a legitimate birth? So says Mar Pshit Dvoshevkin Ruba du Uber Vazin Basar Rov Aver. Nah, that can't be the Shaila, because obviously if Rove of the baby is out, Rove of the baby is out, I'm not going to say that, oh, because one of the Avarim only has a miut of that particular Aver, that's not going to ruin the Leda. So there's no way. That can't be the Shaila. So what is the Shaila? El Kagon Shiyatza Chetzio Birov Aver. Let's say it's exactly 50% of the Uber has emerged, and included in that 50% is rove of one of the Avarim. So the Kami Baile, the Shaila is Haumiyut Begavoy Mal Mishtiu Basar Rov Aver. Do I take the miut of that Aver that's still inside and say, since rove of this Aver is out, even the miut that's still inside is Ki'ilu, it's out, and that puts it over the 50% mark, and therefore it's considered to be that we have a proper Leda. The Rashba writes that even though the Gemara is Masupak about Bechor, but the Suffolk is also about the Heter Achila of a Ben Pakua, meaning if you were to Shech the mother when this happened, so does that Shechita work for the parts that are still inside? It's the same Suffolk, that if 50% of the Uber is out, but it's Rove of one of the Avarim, and if you count the Miut of that Aver that's still inside as being out, it would be a Leda, then you don't have the Heter of Ben Pakua either. So even though we're talking, our topic today is not on Ben Pakua. Our topic today is about Kedushas Bechor, but it would apply equally to Ben Pakua. The Rambam paskins that if Chatzi Uber comes out Berov Aver, that's a suffix if the next Vlad is Nifter from Bechorah, is part from Bechorah. So he clearly learns that the Nidon in our Sugya is about whether the Ba'acharav is going to be a Bechor, is going to be a Bechor or not. The Briskarav, just as Medayek, they see clearly that the first Vlad is obviously not a Bechor. I mean, the Rama must be assuming that it obviously does not have Kedusha, because you definitely need Rubo Derech Rechem that we follow Rove of the Behema. So even though Legabi the Avarim, we say that the Miut is Nigrar Achar Rove, and Rove of the Avarim have come out, but Legabi the Din of Petarechem, you can't connect to the Rove of the Avarim. It has to be the Rove of the Ubar. It's only about Haba Acharav that the Gemara is Mesupak about in the Rambam's view. But anyway, so that was the Shaila. The Shaila was, you have 50% of the animal has emerged, but in that 50% is rove of one of the Avarim. Do I consider that to be a Leda that therefore has Kedushas Bechor? So Tashema says, Gemara, let's be poshate this suffix, because the Seifa of our Mishnah said, Yotza Rubo, if the majority had emerged, Hareze Yikaver, then you bury it. So my Rubo, what does Rubo mean? Ilim Rubo Mamish, if it means that it's Mamish Rove, Sa'ad HaShalom Elosh means Rubo Kukulo, the whole premise of every discussion is Rubo Kukulo. We know that that's a fundamental Yisod in Judaism, that Rubo Kukulo. So that can't be the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Elolav Kugon Shiyotza, Chetzio Birov Ever. It must be that our Mishnah is talking about our case that we're Mesupak about. out that exactly 50% emerged, but with Rov Eiver, and we're mitztarif the miut that's still bifnim with the 50% that's out, and we therefore say that it's a leida, and that it therefore has kedushas bechar. So therefore, we've been poshet the safek. So says Gemara, look, really, we do not follow Rov of the Eiver, and the miut of the Eiver that's still inside is not considered to be as if it's emerged. That is not what's going on in our Mishnah. Rather, the Mishnah is being mechadesh the following case. Kigon shiyatsa rubo b'miut eiver. What we initially thought the shaila was, is what the Mishnah is talking about. That rove of the animal emerged, but it only got to that rove because of a miut of one of the eivarin. The kamash malan, and the chiddush is that we don't abandon the idea of rove of the behema in favor of the idea of rove of a single eiver. That if 51% of the behema emerged, then it's automatically considered to be nolad. It is interesting, Tosfos Rashi points out, that previously the Gemara said that such a thing is a davar pashut. Meaning when we weren't sure what Rava was asking, Rava said, Holchu bevar nacha rov or not. So he said, oh, maybe he's asking this. Maybe he's asking a case where Rov of the Uber came out, but it's only b'miyot eiver. The Gemara says, nah, he wouldn't ask that. That's silly to ask that. That's so obvious. And now the Gemara is saying, this is the whole chiddush of the Mishnah. That this is that, what do you mean? We just said before it's so obvious. Rava would have never asked it, but the Mishnah is going to talk about it. The Mishnah is going to tell me that's the whole chiddush of the Mishnah. So the Tosfos Rashi says an interesting yesod. He says it's not such a great chiddush, but since the Tana, it didn't take the Tana too much to say this chiddush, so it's shaykh to say that that's what the Mishnah was coming to tell me. Even though the Gemara had said it's pashut enough that Rava wouldn't have made a big deal about it in the Beis Medrash. But for the Tana to use an extra word or two in order to be able to explain this case, so it's big enough chiddush for the Tana to allude to it in that Mishnah. So we don't just say something's either a chiddush or it's pashut. There are things in Judaism you make a very big deal about, things you make a smaller deal about, things that you don't emphasize at all. So something that's a davar pashut, you don't need to go screaming about because it's a davar pashut. Something that's kind of pashut, so you mention, but you don't have to make a big. And something that's not pashut at all, then you buy your Rava, then Rava's going to raise shailas about it. So now the Gemara discusses all sorts of chatzitzas, meaning let's say an animal is born, but there's some sort of chatzitza in the Beis HaRechem. So does it have kedushas bechor? So buy your Rava, kracho besif. Let's say you wrap it in some type of like a leaf of a palm tree or something. So mahu. So is that a chatzitza between the Beis HaRechem that will prevent the kedushas bechar? Or betaliso? You wrap the fetus in a talis as it's coming out, as it's emerging from the Beis HaRechem. So mahu, is that a chatzitza? Bishul yaso mahu. What if you wrap it in its own placenta? So says my bishul yaso urchehu. That's just the way babies are born. What do you mean? That's not something that's foreign. That's the natural way that it comes out. So says no. Elu bishulya acheres mahu. You take the placenta of a different animal and you wrap it around this baby on its way out. Is that a chatzitza? Krochato va'achazato v'otziato mahu. What if you wrap your hands around the baby and you pull it out that way, where your hands themselves are a chatzitza between the Beis HaRechem and the baby? So is that going to have kedushas bechar? So it says Maravel Hechidami. What's the case exactly? Eat enough of derech reishay. If it's coming out head first, and after the head comes out, you're trying to get the rest of the body out, so you stick your hands in and you pull it out. So petarte, the head already was the pet arechem. Meaning once the head is out, that's already a birth. So it must be that it's coming out feet first, and so it's not rove out yet, and you're sticking your hands in to pull it out, and that's considered a chatzitza in the Beis HaRechem, and since it's chatzitza, or that might be a chatzitza in the Beis HaRechem, and that's the shaila, whether it has kedushas bechor or not. That's the shaila of our sugya. So the Gemara has never poshet the shaila, and the Rambam says it has a din of a safek bechar, because I don't know if it has kedushas bechar or not, if your hands were in the way and were creating this chatzitza. So there is a tshuva in the Chalkas Yoav in Yoredeya Simul Chavav, where he says that there was a woman who was mivakeres, who was giving birth to her first child, and they took out the vlad with miklachayim, with forceps. And he says that vlad is pater from Pidyon HaBen, because it's chatzitza, the instrument that they're using, using to pull the baby out is a chatzitza between the rechem and the baby. And we say in our Gemara that if you have something that's chotzeitz, it's a suffix whether it has kedushas bechar. The halach is when you have a suffix about pidyon haben, it's a din and din imamnus. It's a motzi mechaver alav haraya. It's mamon shein lo tovim. There's no one that could be tovim, no particular kohen that you owe the money to, and therefore we're always going to say that we go lekula. So he says, even though rove of the guf touched the rechem, but kedushas bechar is tali in the yitzias harosh, and the rosh came out with the forceps, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So the and not only that, he points out that it might even be a svek sveka, and we're still going to be makel. He says, Rava's mesupik whether chatzitza's ma'akev b'bechora, and the Gemara in Bechoros is mesupik whether the vlad needs to touch the entire rechem, or good enough to touch part of the rechem, so we have a svek sveka. Maybe you only need to touch part of the rechem, which in this case it does. And even if it needs to touch the entire rechem, maybe the milkachayim are not a chatzitza. So it's a svek sveka, he says, but even on a svek sveka we're making on pidyon haben, and therefore you would not do a pidyon haben in such a case. The Avni Nezer says similarly. And in many other achronim say the same way as well. However, in Rav Moshe in Yoredei Chel Gimel in Simon Kuf Chav Hei, Rav Moshe writes that we do not learn from our sugya about Bechor Adam. That our sugya is not talking about a human being. It's talking about Kedushas Bechor Behema Torah. The whole suffix is about Bechor Behema. Bechor Behema is a din in the guf of the Behema that only if it touches the Rechem at the Shas Leida. Bechor Adam is not a din in the guf HaAdam. It's a chiyuv on the father to give five slum to a Kohen. And that chiyuv happens at the time of the Leida. It does not even happen at the time of the Leda, Rav Moshe says. That chiv happens 30 days later that he has to give the money. So even though it has to be a peter rechem, but it's not because the rechem generates the chiv. It's just that the chiv has to be made. There's a chiv of chamish shloim. When it went out, derech rechem. So there's the rechem and the yom shloshim. But the chiyuv is what is on day 30. It's not really generated by the rechem in the same way that kedushas bechor of a behema is generated by the rechem. And therefore, Moshe holds that if they use forceps to remove to aid in the delivery, there's still a chiyuv of pidyon haben. The Rav Sturmbach and Chuvus Hagos says similarly that even if it came out with a chatzitza, it's considered a leida. And he said that he asked the Brisker Rav, and the Brisker Rav agreed. And he asked the Tribina Rav, and the Tribina Rav also agreed. So a number of the more contemporary Gedolei Achronim, Rav Meisher, Rav Sturmbach, the Brisker Rav, the Tribina Rav, all held that it would still require Pidyon HaBen, but it is certainly not a psak that is without some level of controversy. Okay, so says the Gemara Viter now. Bila aso chulda. So this is one of these cases in the Gemara that is impossible to imagine being a reality. That a weasel swallowed the ubar while it was still in the womb, votzi atu, and the took the ubar out when it was inside the weasel's body. So mahu. So what's the din? So says the Gemara, hotzi atu. If he took it out, you know, when meaning he then regurgitated, I mean, he spit it out into the avira olam. So he went out without ever touching the rechem. So that's the same thing as the suffix before that we had about the chatzitza beis rechem. So it says no. The case is elabal atu, votzi atu, vihichnisatu vikiatu. Mahu. That the case is, let me see if I got this right. The chulda swallowed it, removed it from the rechem, after having swallowed it, then brought it back into the rechem while it was still inside the chulda. The ikiatu then vomited it out back into the rechem, and then it was born. And then it came out, derech rechem, it was born. So is the yetziah, derech rechem, going to be mekadeshit? So obviously that is an impossibility. That is not a case that could happen. But it's a theoretical case relating to kedushas bechor. And likewise, hidbik shnei rechamim, You have two animals, a pregnant animal A and non-pregnant animal B. And they put their two rechamim right next to each other, and the baby jumps out of the rechem of animal A and jumps into the rechem of animal B. So do we assume that when it's then born from animal B, so didei patar, that the vlad that was created in its own rechem will patar the will be considered a peter rechem of its own mother, but the lav didei lo patar. But if it's not its genetic baby, then it's not going to generate a peter rechem. Or maybe a petarechem is a petarechem. It came out of that womb, so it came out of that womb. This is one of the makaros that they use for surrogacy to try to figure out. I mean, it's a major shaila that happens all the time nowadays. A woman is, her body doesn't produce eggs, but she has a uterus that could hold pregnancy, or vice versa. She doesn't have a uterus, but her body produces eggs. So there's one mother, so they use a donor egg, or they use a surrogate to carry the pregnancy if her body does produce eggs. Who's the mother? Is the mother the genetic mother, or is the mother the gestational mother? So one of the rayas they bring, you don't have any good rayas. All the rayas are like, you know, up in the air a little bit. Rayas from Midrashim and things like that. But one of the rayas they bring is that it refers to the genetic child as didei, that it's yours. So, and the one that's not the genetic one, we refer to as lav didei. So it must be that the genetic parent is the actual parent. That's the raya that they bring. Is it such a great raya? I don't know, but that's the raya that they bring. This was also, this Gemara is also one of the makoros for an incubator, whether a baby that was in an incubator is whether you count the shloshim yom from when it came out of the rechem, even though it wouldn't have survived, or from the 30 days from when it comes out of the incubator. Because where do you ever have a baby that's born, that comes out of the mother and then has to incubate somewhere else? So this is the closest Gemara that we have, that it's incubating in animal B. So this is the discussion that the poskim have. Tosos and Ksubis and Davdalid says that a lot of times, sometimes the Gemara will bring something just as a drosh v'kabal schar, that it's something that will never happen, could never happen, is not a reality at all. And the Gemara says, and Tosos says, our two cases over here in the Gemara are the are two examples of things that could never happen, will never happen, and is just drosh v'kabal schar. But as it turns out, you know, even though it could never and will never happen, it provides a framework for us being able to paskin some of these complicated shailas. Okay, bayi ravacha, niftachu kosei beis harechem. Let's say the kosei beis harechem open up to the point where when the vlad comes out, it doesn't even touch the kosei beis harechem. So is that called the petarechem? Mahu, what's the din? Is the vlad kadosh? Or let's say avirechem makdish vayika. Do we say it's the airspace of the rechem? Anything inside the kosei beis harechem is considered the rechem. Or maybe no, it has to actually touch the physical rechem, and over here it doesn't. The rechem is so wide that the baby just went through the like a swish in basketball, right? It didn't touch the rim, right? So Mar Baravashi. So Mar Baravashi raises the following shaila: Nekru kosei beis harechem mahu. What if the kosei beis harechem have been uprooted? They've been removed. So nekru. Says the Gemara, Nekru, Halesnu, what do you mean? Then they're not there. So if they're not there, there's no Beis Arechem. So obviously there's no Kedusha. So Elo, Nekru, Vitalu, Le, Bitzavare. No, the case is that it's been Nekar, but it's now around the neck of the Ubar. So my, what's the din? B'mekomen Mekachi, Shlo, B'mekomen Lo Mekachi. Do we say that the Rechem can only be Mekadesh when it's in the right place, but when it's not in the right place, it's not Mekadesh? Odil, Mashlo, B'mekomen, not Mekachi. Or maybe even when it's not in the right place, it's Mekadesh. Nigmumu kosei beis harechem mahu. What if the thickness of the kosei beis harechem is totally thinned out? It's become paper thin. So does that have the status of the beis harechem? So amalei kanagata b'bayadi b'ayilad. You're touching on a shaila that we had similar to this. To bayi Rabbi Zeira v'amila b'mine Rabbi Zeira menavasi. Either Rabbi Zeira asked or the Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Asi. Omin merubal aparut. Let's say you have the miut of the kosei harechem has been removed entirely, but rov of it is still there. V'yatza derech parutz. So there's more of the beis harechem still intact than not intact, but the baby came out where it was not intact. So do we say that since it came out where there was no rechem, it's not kadosh, because there's no shame rechem on the part where it did come out? Or do we say that since rubo is still there, so it's considered rubo kikulo, it's considered that the rechem is still intact, and even the part that's parutz, you know, like in Hilchas Eiruvin, we say that there's a, could be a pirtz in the wall, but we view it as if it's still there, as if it's a continuous wall. So over here also it's considered a beis harechem. So parutz meruba la'omed v'yatza derech omed mai. And likewise, let's say it's more parutz than it is omed, but when it came out through the omed part, through the part that's still there. So what's the din? So the Gemara says that from that suffix we can be poshet the shayla of a thinned out beis harechem. Ad kanoi ba'ilel parutz meruba la'omed de'ika ba'olam. De'ika omed ba'olam. We only had a shayla about parutz meruba la'omed where at least some of it is still fully intact. But if the whole thing is so thinned out that it's become paper thin, that Rabbi Zera never had a suffix. That was Pashatim. That if the Kosei Beis Arechem are no longer there in their original thickness, that they're not going to be Mekadesh. So therefore, we can answer Rabbi Yirmiyah Shaila that if they thinned out to such an extent, then for sure the Uber is not Kadosh. The Uber that came out from such a Rechem is not Kadosh. Okay, new Mishnah now. Behema Shemes Uber B'toch Meha. If a Behema has a stillborn, there's a dead fetus inside of it, Vahoshit Aroes Yadov, a miscarriage, Vahoshit Aroes Yadov V'Nagabo, and the shepherd sticks his hand inside the mother and touches the dead fetus, it does not have tumas nevela. The shepherd did not become tame from touching that dead animal inside of its mother's womb. Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, b'tameya tame, b'torah tahar. It depends whether it's a pig or a cow. Is it a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal? So if you stick your hand inside a pig and there's a dead fetus inside the pig, that has tumas nevela. But in a kosher animal, in a cow, it would not have tumas nevela. So my time in Tanakama, why does Tanakama think it for sure has no tumas nevela? Because Amar Rav Chista, kal v'chomer. If the shechita of the mother would even allow you to eat that which is inside of the mother, that there would be the din of ben pakua. So lo tovela l'tuhure mide nevela. Do you not think that the shechita of the mother would take away the nevela status of the dead fetus that's inside of it? So if shechita could make it kosher, then of course shechita can make it that it's not a nevela. So ashkan behema torah, but shechita can only make it kosher if mommy is a kosher animal. How do I know that the fetus inside the behemoth tameya is also not a nevela? There's no shechita that's making that kosher. So answers Gemara, Amar Kra, because the pasuk says about tumas nevela, v'chiyamos min ha-behemah zu behemah tameya, asher hi lochem liachla zo behemah tahora. So iskash behemah tameya lebehemah tahora. Back to back phrases in the pasuk in Parsha Shemini, where one phrase talks about a behemah tameya, and the next about a behema Torah. Ah, ma behema Torah, ubra tahor, af behema tameo, ubra tahor. So just like on a kosher animal, the fetus inside, the dead fetus inside, does not have tumas nevela, so too by a non-kosher animal, the dead fetus inside likewise does not have tumas nevela. Rabbi Yossi Aglili might have a good, so that explained the Tanakama. But why then does Rabbi Yossi Aglili distinguish between the dead fetus inside a behema tahora, which is tahor, and the dead fetus inside a behema tameo, which is tamei? So Gemara doesn't have two explanations. Explanation number one for Rabbi Yosef is the following: Amar Rabbi Yitzchok to Amar Kra, because the pasuk says the kolil lechal kapav b'kolachaya al leches al arba it says tamei meim lechem, etc. And then it says that it's nevela's tame. So it's talking about a non-kosher animal that doesn't have split hooves, and from the it didn't say v'kolachaya, it says b'kolachaya. So mahalche kapayim b'chaya timei silach, that you have a non-split hooved animal inside of its mother, I'm mitame to you, meaning I'm going to tell you has tumas nevela. So you have a non-kosher animal inside its mother, a non-split hoofed animal inside of its mother that's dead. So the fetus is dead, it's going to have tumas nevela. So lemayata, but if that were the case, that it's all about the baby not having split hooves, kolut b'mei para litame to malchi kabayim b'chayahu. What if you have a cow that's pregnant with a baby that doesn't have split hooves? We should say that that has tumas Tumas Nevela, because it's a non-split hoof, the animal inside of its mother. So says more Mahalchi Kapayim, but Mahalchi Arba. No, the fact that the Torah is Metame is only when it's a Mahalchi Kapayim, when it's a non-split hoof, the animal that's inside another non-split hoof, the animal. Vahai Mahalchi Arba by Mahalchi Shmonuhu. The case we're describing of a Kolot B'mei Parah is a non-split hoof, the animal inside of a yes split hoof, the animal. So says more, okay, but what about the following? Parah B'mei Gomel, lo titame. A cow inside of a camel should not be tame, because the malchi shmona b'malchi arbahu, because it's a split of the animal inside of a non-split of the animal. Says more holich v'kol holich l'rabos parah b'mei gamel, that even a parah inside of a gamel is going to have tumas nevela. Kolut b'mei koluta litame. What if both the mother and the baby do not have split hooves, but they're both a kosher min? They're both cows that are freak cows that don't have split hooves. So then the halach should be litame, the malchei arba, malchei arbahu, because it's all dependent on whether it's malchei arba or malchei shmona, and both the mother and the baby in this case are malchei arba. So says Gemara, lahach yahani kal v'chomer Rav Chista. That's where Rav Chista's kal v'chomer comes into play. That since the mother is vaday tahora, and the shechita would be matir b'achila, so kal v'chomer, if the shechita of the mother would be matir the fetus b'achila, kal v'chomer, it's going to take away the tumas nevela. So maskel Rav Achtavi Barami, so Rav Achtavi Barami says, if only a non-split hoofed animal inside of another non-split hoofed non-kosher animal is going to have tumas nevela, chazir b'mei chazirta lo letame. A chazir has split hooves. So a baby chazir that's dead inside of a mommy chazir should not have tumas nevela. To malchei shmona, malchei shmona hu. Because that's malchei shmona inside of malchei shmona. What are you going to do about that one? So it says, what are you going to do about that one? We got to go back to the drawing board and have a different explanation for Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Elo amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mei Hocha. The source of Rabbi Yossi Aglili is as follows. Now, how does Rabbi Yossi Aglili know that there's a difference between a nevela inside of a behema tamea, a dead fetus inside of a Bein Matameya, and a dead fetus inside of a Bein Matahara? Nefesh asher tika b'chol dover tameh, obin nivlas chayi tameh, obin nivlas Bein Matameya, obin nivlas sheretz tameh, v'chi nivlas Bein Matameya metama, uvitahara lo metama. Does a nevela of a non-kosher animal metame, but a nevela of a kosher animal not metame? A nevela of any animal is metame. Eleiza zeh, zeh ubar she b'tameya tameh b'tahara tahar. It must be referring to an ubar, that an ubar inside of a tameya is metame bin nevela, and an ubar inside of a tahara is not metame. Now that I have this answer, why did I need the first answer? So says Mar, Ilav Rabbi Yitzchak, if I didn't have the first answer, the first explanation of Rabbi Yosef Glili, have a minu l'kule l'kud Rabbi Yehuda Asa, I would have thought that the pasuk that Rav Nachman Yitzchak quotes is there entirely to teach the din of Rabbi that we're going to learn about in tomorrow's daf. We're not there yet. So kamash milan, that's why it has to come to tell me that no, don't just learn the din of Rabbi. We have that our din is true as well, that a behema tameya that's dead inside of a tameya mother is going to have tumas nevela, whereas by a tahora that would not be the case. Okay, Beit Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Tanya Amar Rabbi Yonasan, and probably same time I imagine tomorrow as well. Everyone have a great day.